So how are we going to do this? By being kingdom people. By being kingdom people, by being disciples of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we overcomplicate this matter of vision. But the Bible lays it out so clearly what we're to do. God has shown us in His Word how we ought to do this. We know that John the Baptist came preparing the way for Jesus. What was his message? Repent. That's right, repent. To turn, calling people to turn from their sins. And when Jesus finally began his public ministry, what did he do? Matthew 4:17 says, "From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So we as Christians, which literally means what? Little Christs. We're going to keep doing that which Jesus Christ began. We're going to continue proclaiming the same gospel message that Jesus Christ proclaimed. For people to turn from their sins, to come to Jesus because the kingdom of heaven has come near. The good news of the gospel is central to what we preach, teach, and pray in this church. And as his disciples were called to live out the gospel message in our lives, to live it out. So what does that look like? What does that look like? Once again, we go to the good book, the Word of God, and read how the church lived this out in Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Can I hear an amen? Is that a church that you would like us to be? Is that a church who we are today? Amen. Yes. Thank you, Chucky. So first of all, they devoted themselves to the teaching and the fellowship. This speaks of discipleship, guys. Discipleship. Every single believer, every Christian needs to be discipled. Once a person receives Jesus as Lord, they need to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. The early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That included all the teachings of Jesus Christ while he was here on the earth. And we just finished our latest sermon series on Jesus' famous teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. And there are many teachings and commandments that we're to live by day as his disciples. He teaches us in those sermons how to be kingdom-minded, how to be his people in church. By the way, who did their homework this week reading Matthew 5, 6, and 7? Okay. A few hands, I'll take it. Good, guys. Well, if you've procrastinated, this is the week. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But they didn't just devote themselves to the teaching, but also what? Fellowship. Fellowship. You see, discipleship is not just an isolated event that you do on your own. Yes, there are aspects of that, but it's not something you just do alone. Discipleship is something we do together, right? We need those who are mature in their faith to disciple the younger in faith. We need mentors, godly men and women who are teaching the next generation of Christians what it means to be a disciple and how to disciple others. So my question to you as a member of this church, are you being discipled? Are you allowing yourself to be disciplable? And are you discipling others? You see, we're called to be disciples who make disciples. Next, the early church devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. What does it mean to break bread with someone? To eat together, to share a meal, right? But the meal is symbolic of what? Spending time together. Spending time together, right? We are the church of Jesus Christ. The breaking of bread also implies that we take communion regularly when we come together, meaning Jesus is central to our gathering of who we are as his people. We invite him in into our time together, into our conversations. We remember what he has done for us and that he is coming back one day in all his glory. The Bible refers to the church as what? As the body of Jesus Christ. And a body has many members, many parts. We're all connected together. We're united in Jesus Christ. And as such, we need to spend time together with each other to share life, to share faith with each other. You guys notice the banners we have on the church recently on the walls there? We just got the cedars cut lower so we can actually see those things on the wall. What does one of the banners say there? Faith, family, life. Faith, family, life. That's what we're called to together as a church, to spend time together, to share life together, to recognize that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. That we're a family, a body of believers, brothers and sisters. And that we're on this journey of faith together. God's word tells us that each member is important. That one is not better than the other. And that each member has its function and place. And that when one member hurts, we all hurt. And when one member rejoices, we all rejoice. And all this speaks to of being together, of unity. Sharing life, loving one another. Loving your neighbor as yourself. And this fellowship not only speaks about sharing time and experiences together, but also our material goods. Just as we read in Acts 2, they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. You see, there's such unity in these verses in Acts 2 that we read. It speaks of the sacrificial love for each other that Jesus has shown us. And that's what Jesus teaches us. The commandment he gives in John 13, 34, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The fellowship we have with each other unites us in the love of Christ. Our common belief is rooted in Jesus Christ. We come together to break bread not only at church, but also in our homes. Look around the room today. Take a look around. Is there anyone in the room today who you have not had over for a meal? Is there someone you've been meaning to ask to come for a visit? Most likely there is, right? So why haven't you? We always say that we don't have time, it's hard to find time, but you know what? Truly it comes down to we make time for the things that are important to us. I want to encourage all of us as a church this fall and winter season, as we get that rain and stuff, and the weather changes, to fellowship with one another. Invite each other into your homes. Allow others to see who you are. Be vulnerable. Carry each other's burdens. Love one another. That is the will of Jesus Christ for us, to love one another. We don't need to uphold some perfect image that we're the strongest Christians in the room, because that's not true. We all hurt at times. We all struggle and battle with sin and difficulties, and the enemy wants to divide us. But Christ wants to unite us. He wants to unite us because together we're strong. So take that up as a challenge. Invite each other to your homes, to the most intimate place you have, and spend time together. Lastly, the church was devoted in their prayers. In their prayers. Prayer is such a vital part of our Christian walk. I wouldn't be standing up here without the prayers of my parents. It's so important in our personal life, but also in our church life. If you look at any great move of God, it began in prayer. It began in prayer. From Moses in the burning bush talking with God to William Seymour in the Azusa Street Revival, to the day of Pentecost, the disciples were devoted to prayer before it happened. Prayer is what prepares the way for God to move among us. Prayer is a catalyst to see the will of God take place in our church and in our lives. We must continue to press into the things of God with prayer. Seymour and his group of followers gathered frequently to pray for a few months before the revival began. And they decided to study Acts 2:1-4 and added fasting to their prayers as they were asking God to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. That was their focus of their prayers. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. This is something we ought to pray, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Is that what your prayer is? Are you asking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Are you desiring God to fill you with His Spirit every day? Are you seeking to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh? And God began to answer their prayers because they were praying according to His will. You see, a lot of times our prayers can be prayed in our own will, our own desires. Yes, it's good that we should ask God for things. I'm not saying that. But we should pray according to His will. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." And John 14:13 says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Do you believe in the power of prayer? It is according to God's will and his desire for the lost to be saved. That is 100% God's will. 1 Timothy 2:3 says, "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." This is God's will, for people to be saved, and people are perishing. People are walking blindly towards destruction. And we have been given the responsibility, the commandment, to go and preach life to those who are perishing. That is our duty, our obligation as Christians, as little Christs. And one day we will stand before Christ in his throne, and he will ask, "How did you do this? Did you follow my commandment?" If you had to stand before Christ today, what would you say to that? Would you hang your head in shame? Or would you be able to say with a sure heart, "Lord, I preached your word. I was faithful to your calling and commandment in my life"? Let's pray that his will happen in Vancouver, that his will happen in Lower Mainland, that his will happen across Canada. Let's pray that his will would happen in our living rooms, his will would happen in our neighborhoods, in our families. Let's pray that his will would happen here in this church. I believe we are seeing just a trickle of the first fruits of what God is doing among us. I've been humbled, truly, this past couple years to be called to lead this church. And I must confess, I don't feel adequate. I don't feel wise enough or strong enough. But I know the one who is, and that is Jesus Christ. And the truth is, none of us are. None of us are adequate, strong enough, wise enough in our own strength and flesh. It's all Jesus. It's all God. So let's not allow ourselves to just pat each other on the back and say, "It's good what we're seeing happen. Yes, we've had several baptisms and salvations this year. Yes, we have discipleship classes going. And the church is experiencing small growth. Yes, that's wonderful and awesome to see, see God working. But let's not grow lukewarm. God has more for us. It's his kingdom, and he's building it. Let's keep asking God for more, believing for more. Let's devote ourselves to the task. Let's put our hand to the plow and keep pushing forward. And it's vital that we keep praying. If everything else stops, let's keep praying. Keep praying. We have our first prayer week beginning on September 30th to October 7th. And I want encourage everybody, let's get involved. Let's pray. Let's pray like we've never before prayed. Let's add fasting to our prayer life. And we're going to give you more details about what prayer week is going to look like. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's keep on preaching the gospel. Let's keep on living out the gospel. Let's not shy away from telling others about Jesus and what it means to turn from our sins. Let's keep on living out the gospel in our lives by devoting ourselves to the teachings of Jesus Christ, keeping his commandments, to be disciples and learn to make disciples. This world needs it. There are so many people groping in the darkness that have no idea even what truth is anymore. It feels like it's getting darker and darker by the day. But the light shines the brightest in darkness. And the light of Christ is in every single one of us. And we're not to hide it. So let's devote ourselves to discipleship, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread with one another, giving to one another who are in need, loving one another as Christ has loved us. And let's keep ourselves devoted to prayer, asking God for people to come to saving faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Asking God to keep baptizing people in the Holy Spirit. Asking God for his kingdom to come, his will be done on earth as in heaven. And I pray and I hope we would see happen what the closing verses of Acts 27 says, when it says that we'd be praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. This can happen, guys. Do you believe it?